Yo,
Carell and Abba podcast number 14.
Oh,
we're here, baby.
I'm super excited.
Oh man, we've got some cool stuff to speak about today.
Whoa, what's the title of today's episode?
I forgot. We literally just had the brainstorm and I've already forgotten the name of it. Whisper it. 50 Shades of Love. I knew it was on the tip of my tongue the whole time. 50 Shades of Love is the name of this podcast.
And what does 50 Shades of Love have in store for our listeners?
For the next bit of time, we are going to be exploring all of the ways that love manifests itself.
Absolutely. In food.
In music.
In language.
And in sex.
Whoa.
We do speak a bit about.
Put the kids away.
Yeah.
Do we ever do that? Do we warn people that they're about to...
This is X-rated.
It's trash.
I think on iTunes I had to click that it was explicit.
Okay, that's good.
Because you do get explicit sometimes.
I am an effer and a jeffer.
She is. And that's it. That's it. We're going to be speaking about love today, guys.
Yeah, we don't want to give away too much because then you can look forward to the segments. Based on some listeners' feedback, we've gone for slightly longer segments this time.
So it's a bit of a bumper episode, but they're all going to be bumpers now.
Exactly. If you want the track listings, make sure you check them out on SoundCloud or on the iTunes post.
Yeah, we are on the iTunes store, as we said. So if you type in Cloak and Swagger into podcasts, we come up on iTunes. Please subscribe and you'll be getting us every other Sunday, hopefully.
This episode is brought to you by Carell's Grey Hairs.
Few of them remain. They are all going to be gone soon. Okay, let's just kick off.
Show you wanted to tell me about?
I have recently been watching a great show on YouTube and it's from Mass Appeal, a hip hop magazine, and the section's called Rhythm Roulette.
Okay, so what, the show is Rhythm Roulette?
No. Yeah, the show's Rhythm Roulette on Mass Appeal's YouTube channel. It's really good.
Nice. What is Mass Appeal?
It's like a hip hop magazine.
Like Complex.
Featured on Rhythm Roulette was Large Professor.
Nice.
And he.
Is that medical?
Yeah, it's
keep
not
going,
medical.
Keep going, keep
academic?
Going. Yes.
But he's got a kind of affix that he's putting on his name, Dr. Pro. Mm. So he's one of the guys on Rhythm Roulette. So Rhythm Roulette is, they take a producer, they throw him in a record store.
Yes.
They blindfold him and he's got to choose three vinyls. Or actually, one guy chooses three tapes, which I think is fucking cool. They get these three beats. they go back to the studio, which is quite interesting to see because they all have completely different studios. And they play the vinyl, and then they try and take a sample out of it, you know, and create a loop, make a beat, and do a whole fucking song or whatever they want to do with it. They could just make like a cool 30-second, couple of minute song with just a beat on it, or they could actually get some vocals in. One guy sings, another guy raps over it. One guy makes. I've seen one where one guy made two songs. It's pretty fucking great.
It's like the music version of the last round of Ready, Steady, Cook. You know when someone just brings in like a jumble of ingredients and says to like Ainsley, like,
let's make something.
Yeah,
like,
oh, I had a coconut and a coriander bunch and some golden syrup.
Yeah.
And then the chef's like, right, okay, well, we'll do something with this.
Thank you.
I feel that the producers of Rhythm Roulette saw that and were like, we can do this with music.
That's true.
Because they're blindfolded, aren't they? So it's really just like
luck of the draw.
Random pick and mix, and then they've got a sample. But they get the random tracks, then they make a sample. Can they use other instruments?
Yes, sometimes they play stuff over the top.
Right.
Sometimes they sing. I look at some guys like playing the drums over the top. They have drum machines. They have fucking whatever they want to do, man.
It's a really sick concept for a show. I would
I've
love to see some of like the more, I guess, like big hip hop artists or something on that. So, for example, like if we got Yeezy on that, that would be sick.
I actually,
or Hudson Mohawk or something like that. Do you know what I mean? Like some like super big
Diplo or something.
Just to see if
cool.
they could do it, because at the end of the day, like we don't know
how they make music.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's so true. The biggest one, I guess, on there was Just Blaze. He's quite big.
Oh yeah, he's massive.
He was kind of a bit rubbish.
Really?
Yeah.
I can imagine some of them would get really annoyed if they got like shit tracks.
Yeah.
Because imagine if you're blindfolded and you pick up like Dolly Parton.
Yeah.
You know, Girls Aloud.
But sometimes sometimes that works.
Really?
One guy, he plays tapes and he finds he's a Korean tape of like just singing, and he just takes an element of it and then puts it into the computer and then just repeats it over and over again, and then that becomes like the beginning bit of the song.
Yeah.
And then he just layers in some fucking crazy drums. He puts like some horns in there. He just like, he's a screaming, he records his own little vocal bit for the story bit. Like, even the rubbish music can sometimes give them little bits. What is interesting though is when they play the vinyl and they get back to their studio, they never play the whole song. They all literally just put it on, listen to 10 seconds, and then move to the next one. They can tell.
But how do they know? What if the song like has a mix up?
That's
or
what
a
I always thought. I was like, but surely they're missing out on other bits and so maybe they like do that to provisionally vet and then they'll go through and listen to the whole song. But
or maybe it's edited to look like they're just doing it for
that's what
seconds.
I thought, but I don't think it is.
Really?
Because they do it on like it doesn't look edited like that.
I just think that some records like switch up so much that you can't just like put the vinyl on, play like 10 seconds and go, no, I'm not going to use this one.
Yeah.
Another thing I was thinking as well is like, is it actually that hard? Like when you give the example of turning like, was it like Korean R&B from the 80s or some random stuff?
It wasn't even R&B. It was like Korean singing.
Like pop ballads or whatever.
Beautiful.
Yeah,
they see me down the Korean barbecue.
But like with a proper like sampler, you could like distort the shit out of it.
It's just sound.
Add another layer to it. Put a drum machine on it. Spit a verse on it. You know,
and you got yourself a banging beat, mate.
Yeah, exactly. So actually, is it that hard? They should make it that you like can't do that.
Can we do it? Yeah.
I cannot do it, but I can't do basic things like, you know, well, you can't swim and I can't, you know, play video games. So there's normal things that we are incapable of doing, but I'm saying with the producers, if they get to add all those like special effects and use lots of their own equipment, then maybe it's not fair because they could just...
But
they don't need to retain that much of the original record, do you know what I mean?
But then, to counter that, when you listen to the original song that they get, and you listen to the beat they've made, you can still connect those two.
Right, okay.
Whenever I've watched the end of the thing, I've always gone, yeah, that's pretty sick, because you've taken the original recording and just spun it in a new way. You haven't, like, just taken it and then just distorted it so much that you can't connect those two pieces.
Right, okay, because
I
thought...
You can see the source material in the end product.
Okay, if they still need to retain a bit of that, like, original vibe, then that's cool. But I thought they could just go, like, you know, just take one little, like, tsk, and then, like, just loop that.
It's pretty fucking... It's good. We're going to put on a song from one of the guys that was on Rhythm Roulette.
Yo. Yeah, nowhere to run to, nowhere to hide. sitting on the front stoop right outside in the moonlight. When I take flight, I fly, crank the engine, then I break out like I'm benching thousands of pounds, spit thousands of rounds and verses, help them out like a found missing person. This time I'ma try to lounge on the cursing so people can hear how my rap sound perfect. Could hate a nigga, but in fact it's not worth it. Never know how long you got on this earth, kid. Count them blessings and pay them dues. Keep rolling with the winners, cause they don't lose. In the 2G era, the skies is looking clearer, and nothing can stop them guys that's in the mirror. So thankful that I keep my hands on the bankroll. Can't play the shipwreck falling off the plank roll. So I stay stable like a natural born hustler, kicking that hot shit right for all the customers. Near or far, coming here to star. I'll be pouring out beer in the park for my loved ones. Deep and thick is how my love runs for you. So with no further ado, I'ma smash it. Kick that shit they call acid. 24 hours a day, remain classic.
In the sun, 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 sun.
In the sun, kid.
Keep flowing, sun, 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 sun.
In the sun, bro.
Keep flowing, sun, 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 sun.
Yeah.
We keep moving, sun, 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 sun.
In the sun,
we keep moving, sun. Sun, sun, sun,
in the sun,
we ain't stopping. Sun, 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 sun,
sun,
sun,
in
sun.
The sun,
we
y'all.
Stopping. Sun, 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 sun. We keep
yeah.
Growing. Sun, 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 sun,
in
sun.
The sun.
I arise from out my linens to the sun beginning. Kissed by the ray of a sunny day. But I feel it in my bone, a child's without a home. A prison cell holds a dream to a black teen. I never thought I'd see the day when brothers pledge allegiance to a red, white, and blue that's waving untrue. Yo, where's the 40 acres in the mule, huh? You rather give us Mickey D's in the tool, huh? And in the sun, I see the way you pull our heartstrings. And in the sun, I see your old way to new things. Every man has to bow down to God's grace. Every soul has to concede to God's goal. Politicians give religions to a starved people. As the Constitution reads, it says I'm not equal. 3/5 of a gift from a love supreme. This gotta be a bad dream. I'm hearing train scream. Little kids are getting warped from computer thwarts. Family structure is destroyed. Marriage null and void. All has gotten formulaic. Really hate to say it, but I can see it easy really in the sun. In the sun, 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 sun. We keep flowing, sun, 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 sun. Keep flowing, sun, 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 sun. We keep moving, sun, 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 sun. We improving, sun, 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 sun. We ain't stopping, sun, 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 sun. We on stopping, sun, 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 sun. We keep flowing, sun.
Yo, don't ever think I've forgotten them days black plotting and scheming, sitting in the lunchroom eating and dreaming on about the things we do. When we reach independence, nothing is brand new. It's all still according to plan. Me and man from decades ago, can't nobody understand the hardships we've been through. Sun to sun on the wake up, knock knock, everybody gotta run for the ultimate goal. Can't lose their soul in the process. So unto you, I say God bless. Seeing your face lets me see my own, so I zone and think about the days we got stoned in the staircase, apartment buildings, little children's growing in the world so cold, just like pilgrims. We migrate daily. Nowadays we rarely get to see one another, but when we connect, we still brothers. And now we in the corporate world, and the game is different. You get caught up in the twirl if your fam ain't effective. So here's our perspective to help each other, cause man, ain't it hectic. In the sun.
So I actually have a setup for this next bit that we're going to talk about. And Abba doesn't know this, we're going to picture the setup. So, we talk about food a lot on the show.
I love food.
We're both lovers of food, like to eat things, put things in my mouth.
Food is my lover.
I like it when it goes in, I like it when it comes out, the whole process is great.
Don't say that.
What, I can't say that? Is that too much?
No, I mean, is that true though?
End-to-end story, mate.
I don't think that's what it means. Fork. I don't think it's feel to foot to mouth.
Foot and mouth disease.
Hoof to...
Hoof to puff. That is a great fucking club night. Hoof to puff. That's it. You come in as a hoof.
Snout,
leave it a puff.
No, but what's it called? Like snout to trout.
Snout
trotter,
to trout.
Smutter.
What are you saying?
When you eat the whole... There's a restaurant in London. Nose to tail. Nose to tail eating.
What does that mean?
Nose to tail eating is when you literally like... If you go to a meat restaurant and they serve every little bit of it. So you get like the oxtail, you get the...
Tongue.
Beef, you got the balls, you got the lungs, you got the liver,
the lungs,
the ears, the cheeks, and then maybe even the face. Cow face steak. I don't know, but I'm
what,
pretty
in
sure
one meal?
I just feel like there's even a restaurant in London called Nose to Tail.
I think you're making this up.
And if you do nose to tail eating, it's the kind of way that people eat in developing countries.
Back to my setup for this section. I want to pitch this idea of...
You love pitching ideas.
it's basically Dragon's Den, and my whole right. life is Dragon's Den.
What about this, Emma? Tell me what you think about
but that. But the twist in my mind is I'm also Theo Pathetus. I'm also Deborah Meaden.
Okay.
And I'm pitching.
So you're everyone. You're
yeah, like, I'm all of them. I'm all of them.
Narcissist. I'm all of them. Are you a narcissist?
What does that mean?
Someone that's like in love with themselves.
Oh, you love myself? You gotta love yourself. Yeah. You can't love yourself till you love others. Why is that funny?
I'm just laughing.
Why is that my belief on loving myself?
No, apparently the best way to find out if someone is a narcissist is to just ask them, because if they are, then they won't deny it.
Oh, yeah, so, I love myself. Is that a bad thing to be narcissistic? It seems to have a negative connotation.
Well, in the original Greek myth, he loved himself so much that he was like staring at his reflection in a lake and was like, oh my God, I'm so hot. And then he was like, oh, I want to like kiss myself. And he like leaned in, like staring obsessively at his reflection, and then he fell in the lake and he drowned. So it's kind of like a cautionary tale.
Wow, that is such a good little parable.
You wrote that. Narcissist.
Reminds me of that scene from Lord of the Rings. Smeagol, he's got the ring.
Smeagol the Beagle.
Okay, back to my pitch. The Chinese burrito is what I'm pitching you.
Is there such a thing?
Let's make it a thing.
Spring roll.
Shut up. The Chinese burrito in my mind. We've got that clean white rice that I know you love.
I love it.
Sweet pork, duck, all these kind of
Whoa,
things.
The kind pork of, and duck.
Yeah, the kind of, your face. Abba's face, excitement is imploded on it. You know when you get Peking duck, you get those kind of cucumbery bits.
Yes.
Sort of stuff. We slide those down the side.
Love it.
A run of chili oil around the other bits. Maybe
love
a bit
it.
Of hoisin through Oof, the middle.
Damn.
And maybe the tricky bit with this is there's no fajita wrap. There's no naan breads, you know, the Chinese people don't fucking have that shit,
no.
right? So the closest I'm thinking of is when you order those bao bun things.
Those are good.
But they're too thick. So imagine like a really thin layer of that stuff.
Nice.
Because it's quite sticky, it's quite squidgy. The
is
rice
that,
sticks.
Is that replacing the wrap?
Yeah.
Wow.
That's a really good idea, right?
That's
a fucking sick idea. Would you love that?
I would fucking murder that.
The Chinese burrito.
So wait, let's walk through this again. We've got texture of a bao / char siu.
So you got that
fluffy,
sticky,
bun kind of thing.
Yeah, soft.
But it's obviously wider, a bit thinner. Lay down the rice down the middle. Was it pork belly or char siu?
Yeah, so like sweet pork belly,
nice.
Then the roasted duck.
With the juices of the roast duck
so
alongside
half and
it,
half.
A bit of the natural juices there. Veggie wise, we're saying sliced cucumber.
Yeah.
The spring onions as well.
And maybe. Yes, perfect.
Okay,
perfect.
Nice. I would even think variation, potentially pak choi.
Yeah, I was thinking pak choi as well.
Maybe.
It's getting heavy now.
It is. I'm just trying to get everything in there.
Because you want to really go for the rice and the meat.
That's true.
That wants to be your main.
Chili oil wise, is it going to be that shrimpy, fishy one or just classic?
You can have sriracha if you want, or you can have the shrimp.
Oh, snap drizzle. That's good.
Huh?
And then the hoisin, and then
yeah, maybe a couple of fucking dipping sauces while we're at it.
I want that.
How sick. My mouth is watering.
I want that so badly. I wish I had that right now.
So back to the setup. We need to make that happen. Number one,
I'm gonna be all distracted now.
You're thinking about it.
Mm.
We can make that. I'm sure we can cook it.
Yeah.
The reason we came up with that great idea, and we've got to give props to our man Eddie Wong from Wong's World.
Eddie Wong.
We've been watching a lot of that.
Fob. Number one fob.
FOB, the human panda, our absolute hero.
Mm.
And I wouldn't have come up with that idea, Eddie, if it wasn't for you, man.
He is an inspiration. As a fellow food adventurer,
mm-hmm.
You know, I like to stay humble. But I let my belly lead the way in most
it does.
Of the travels that I do. And what I like about Eddie is he's just got this, like, honest approach to food. I mean, you know, he's a restaurateur.
Tell us a little bit more about Eddie. Who's Eddie?
Eddie Wong is a second-generation American, grew up in Orlando. You might recognize him from his popular US sitcom Fresh Off the Boat, which is a biographical piece about Eddie Wong and growing up as one of the only sort of like Chinese-American kids in his like predominantly white / black neighborhood. He was a bit of a like chigger. I don't think he'd be offended in me saying that. Well, you know, Uyghurs were like white guys who like emulate black culture, appropriate that kind of black culture a bit.
You can get
Eminem
Chinese
style. So if you're a Chinese guy, yeah. In fact, there's quite a good hip-hop artist called like Big Chigga, who we should check out later.
That's actually colloquial term for people. That's it.
I mean, I
chiggers. I've never.
I think
heard
I
that.
Could maybe say that because I'm half Asian, half black. I don't know if you can get away would, with like, it. Read about it, but
wow, I didn't know that was like a time because you get wiggers, but I didn't chiggers was a thing.
But he talks a lot, he quite openly, honestly, and like frankly about how like alienating it can be sometimes to be like a first generation American. His parents moved to America to give them a better life, opened this restaurant, I think 96, opened like a huge kind of steakhouse to serve like the tourists that come to Orlando. Disney World's there. I mean, huge, huge tourist hub. But in his sitcom, which is like also quite funny, although I definitely prefer his food show, he just like, you know, cracks a lot of jokes about like, you know, rapping to like B.I.G. and all this stuff. And his parents just like, what are you doing? Like, we're from Taiwan.
Mm.
But yeah, so that's pretty much him. Now he's like a food entrepreneur and he makes amazing shows with Vice. So he's got like a bar restaurant in New York, Manhattan. I haven't been, but I would love
to eat those buns.
Yeah, Bauhaus, which is a sick name for a bar.
Yeah, it's really fucking good. He was a New York Times bestseller. He wanted to be a lawyer and he then became his kind of food guy.
He's a funny guy.
He's a great fucking guy, man.
As someone that like, you know, tries to make a comedy podcast, I must say, like, he is hilarious. He's
naturally funny guy.
Hilarious.
Big heart. Lola.
Heart of gold.
Like, we've seen him go to Mongolia, go to, like, fucking
oh, when he ate that
Detroit.
Gold card. I feel like, do you know what? I feel like I know him. Even though I've only seen him on TV, I feel like he's being real. That's who he is. And if I hung out with him, there's only one other person who I feel that way about.
Mm.
Where, like, they're just such a true version of themselves that you're like, I like the things you do. You do the things that I like to do. Let's hang out. Eddie Huang and Rihanna.
You love Rihanna.
I'd invite them to my party.
I don't think Rihanna is the person you think she is, dude.
Well, let's stay on topic.
I don't want to hurt your feelings.
Let's stay on topic.
But yeah, it's funny, isn't it, how you have some celebs and you're like, I just want to hang with that dude.
Yeah.
He has gone from all over the world. And you know the best thing about him? He just actually really loves people, but he just uses food as a way to get to people because he's just like grew up as a food lover. He's a little bit chubby, but I love him for it.
Yeah.
And he's just like fucking man. And he's just such a good way of blending in with people and connecting people. Like, he doesn't have any airs about him. He just has a really like kind of good moral standing. Like, we watched one. The best episode you guys should check out is Orlando is really good.
His hometown.
Yeah. And he basically tells his story. And his story's fucking cool. His parents are awesome. His mum's really funny. His dad's just a proper G. They really love each other. Like, great family unit. The best thing about Eddie Huang's cooking show is the fact that it doesn't put all the pieces for you. It just kind of lets you piece them out together. And it actually shows that there's some things that are a little bit more complicated than you think they are. Like, when he looks at kind of, like, race and how people blend in and what is identity, he's using just food as a kind of, like, you know, like a narrative for that. But he doesn't give you all those pieces. Like, what I watched the episode where he went to Russia, and that was really interesting because he talks about, you know, what does it mean to be, you know, accepted by Russian people because they are slightly different opinions. Like, for example, there's a black guy in Russia and everyone calls him the N-word. But then they are like, well, we just call him that. That's not racist to us. But he talks about these kind of complex issues, but he doesn't give you the whole answer, which I think is great.
It's a sick show. It's more than just a cooking show. Like, it is mainly about food and eating, but then he brings
I don't think it is really
dress.
About food.
It's a travel show.
It's a people show.
Really?
It's about, it's literally...
It is about food, though.
I don't think, I mean, the food
compared
is
to
the way
you
to
watch.
Get there. Yeah, there's more food in it, but really, it's about a people show, first and foremost, because he meets characters. He meets people that tell you their story. He always asks people about their identity, giving back to community. Okay, obviously he loves food and that's the catalyst for it. But in my eyes, that's a show about people. Eddie's got great style as well, man. He just looks like he walks out of like a... What was that?
Huang.
He also walked out of a 90s hip-hop video.
He's very inspired. He looks like a Chinese mace.
He's a human panda.
He's partial to a bucket hat. Isn't he?
Yeah, and oversized clothes.
He can fit so
shit.
Much food in one bite. Like
he eats
sees.
A lot.
But somebody's been like, oh yeah, let's just try a bit of that, and it's like, and it's like a massive ass bite. I think he also like is like imperceptible to heat or whatever the word is, because sometimes it's like literally boiling. It's like let me just taste that, and it's like just into his
fresh off the
gob,
fucking pot.
And you're like,
yeah.
Damn, son, like
no fear.
I feel like if you went to like New York with Eddie, where he lives, you would just have the best time.
I just want to chill that dude, man.
You would just be eating, chilling, more eating.
This reminds me, one of my dreams in life is to do a holiday based around food. To go to places that I'm like, cool, we're going to do a holiday, but actually, these are the places I want to eat at.
Most of my holidays are like that. I pick the restaurant before I pick the, like...
hotel.
Yeah. Food is so important, though. Like, before you travel, what are the good restaurants there?
Because I've disregarded going on holiday to some place because I know the food's going to be shit.
We once ate at a restaurant 3 times in a row in Croatia because it was recommended to us. We had it on the first night. We were like, this is so good. We went to the second place that was recommended to us the second night. It was not as good. So then we just kept going back to the first one.
Did you always order the same stuff?
Pretty much, yeah. It was so good.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow.
I mean, we added different bits. But we always got the fish of the day. And then different, like... It was a seaside place.
Another great thing about Eddie's show is... You see where food comes from. And I am so desensitized.
A lot of slaughtering of animals.
Like, and he has respect for it. He's like, if we're going to eat this food, we need to understand that an animal has to die to do that. And you know what? I completely agree. I mean, yesterday we did watch a goat having its head lopped off.
It's definitely more...
But it's done with respect. And he always recites his prayer. He cares about it. He shows it. You know, there's one scene where his mum's trying to not look, and he's like, "Mum, we're gonna have this for Chinese New Year. We've got to look at the animal being slaughtered. It's not fair." You know.
He definitely, it's definitely better that he's sort of like honest about the story of like where meat comes from, because I think lots of people are desensitized to it.
I am.
And because he goes to the developing world, it's definitely way more popular to see that, way more common to see that. In developing countries where people still go to the market for their meats.
You know what's going to happen? We're talking about food, we're going to get hungry again.
I'm already there.
Let's take a food break.
I'm going to say some words, and then you tell me, after I say a few, what word comes to your mind.
Okay, let me close my eyes. They are closed, and I'm ready to do this.
So don't speak until I tell you to. Just let the words wash over you. Everlasting. Unconditional. True. What word comes to mind?
I have two words. Life and love.
Nice. Interesting.
Everlasting life. That's what I got first off.
Someone's been to church. So I was talking about love.
Love.
So you're close. And I wanted to talk to you about this thing that I was recently told about, although it's been around for a while from what I can understand about it. New York Times bestselling book.
Whoa.
Psychologist who came up with this idea that there are five languages of love.
Across the world, there are five languages of love.
So basically, in terms of like love and human interaction, there's like five different ways in which like we prefer to communicate love and be communicated love in. And we have like one or two top ways.
What are the five languages of love?
So the first one is acts of service / devotion.
Okay.
Second one is quality time.
Okay.
Third one is receiving gifts. The fourth one is words of affirmation. And the final one is physical touch. That's in no particular order. But
can you do all three at the same time?
Well, there are five, so it'd be all five.
You could do the physical affection, physical touch, hand job, bam.
Yeah, okay.
Two and one.
Yeah, maybe, if that's how you see it. I mean, I don't really know. I feel like quality time is more like time that you spend alone together.
What about acts of violence? Where does that come in?
Acts of service.
Service, sorry.
So it's the five languages of love, not lust and fetishism by Carol Kumar, just for the record. But yeah, so the idea is that as human beings, one of those five things, or two of those five things, will be like most impactful and powerful for us in terms of love. So, for example, physical touch. I think that one is probably going to be on a lot of people's list.
What are your top ones? Let's do
that. I feel like definitely like affection, which like is
physical touch
is a big one. Also, see, this one's tough.
Do you just have one? Do you just have one thing?
No, you can have as many as you want. But
you can have as many as you want.
His theory was that you get a top 1/2.
Oh, so you can only have two, man. So you got physical touch. What's your second one?
Do you mean I can only have two? You can't tell me what I can have. You can't tell me what to feel.
Because the book says you can have two of them.
The theory is that he believes...
You want all five.
He believes...
You want all five, don't you?
No, I'm just saying. Do you know what? You pick. What are your five?
No, okay, I'm going to pick your fucking ones.
No, don't pick my ones. You pick your ones.
You've got a second to choose, man. You've got a second one.
You're talking over me.
Sorry.
You pick your two. I'll shut up.
Okay, I'm also going to choose, not copying you.
Oh, God.
I'm having physical touch as my main.
Okay.
And then my sort of backup... would be words of affirmation, because I love hearing people say nice things about me.
Okay, do you understand what this is?
People loving me. How I want to be loved. I want to be touched.
Okay.
And I want to be hear the words.
So acts of service, for example, / receiving gifts, those things aren't big for you.
I'm a giver, not a taker, mate.
So receiving gifts isn't big for you.
I'm giver.
I'm going to remember that
for
your birthday. This is recorded.
I'm a giver, man.
Okay.
Don't worry about it.
And when you look back on like people that you've been in relationships with, whatever... No. Do you think that makes sense? Because I think, like, from hearing my friends say stuff like, oh, I wish he'd be more affectionate, or, oh, I wish, you know, we'd spend more time together, or whatever. I think that this is legit. I think that this speaks to me, and this speaks to people I know. Because some people are like, oh my God, he never does this for me. He never, like, takes me anywhere. He never buys me stuff. And in my eyes, I'm like, oh my God, but he so clearly cares about you. And they're like, yeah, but he should do stuff for me. And that's obviously like that acts of service for some people.
No, that's quality time.
Feeling loved is receiving gifts and like acts of service / devotion.
I'm a bit confused what you qualify as one of those, because surely quality time, this is a different meaning to everyone.
Well, look, acts of service could be getting something delivered to your office. You don't even need to be together, right?
But surely it's more than just physical. Acts of service could be emotional support.
Devotion. Yeah,
maybe you can be emotionally devoted to someone and never buy them a present, right?
But it has to be, yeah, like you have an act of service, basically a sacrifice. Are you sacrificing your time, your efforts, your whatever, to show how devoted you are to that person?
I think there's more nuance in these kind of like...
You haven't read the book as well.
I don't read books.
Let's be straight,
I don't
okay?
Write books.
Don't argue with stuff you haven't even read.
Have you read the book ever?
I read the Wikipedia page.
Okay.
Which is more than one
zero research fact. We've got one tiny little sliver.
But I'm not arguing with it, am I?
No, I'm just questioning. the wise man asks questions.
And where is this wise man?
He's outside.
When is he coming?
He's coming in later.
Okay, so you are physical touch, words of affirmation. You're basically
touch me,
like a dog.
Love me. Yes, I'm a little fluffy dog.
You want someone to treat you like a pet. Good boy. Good boy.
Touch
there's
me.
A there's your treat. And then to pat you on the head.
Oh.
Funnily enough, I think I'm the same.
Actually, yeah. But I just don't want to, I'd rather be a cat.
I mean, I won't say no to gifts. I won't say no to gifts, but I'm not really fussed about them.
I mean, to be honest.
Quality time, actually, to be fair.
Yeah, quality time's important. But I feel like you can't have quality time.
Physical
you can't
touch.
Have a relationship without quality time.
Yeah.
If you have a great relationship, how is it not going to have any good quality time in it?
Long distance.
But then
space station and they're on Earth.
Yeah, but the time that you spend could be your eyes quality. Maybe you spend your Skype chat, your 5 minutes a day Skype chat as real quality time.
With your boobs out.
Yeah, okay, now you've got your boobs out.
Naked
that's
Skype.
Disgusting.
Is that quality
time? That's too much physical touch.
You're on Skype. I don't know if VR technology is there yet.
I was doing the air boob touching thing.
Imagine if you hired a prostitute just to do that.
Yeah.
Like £60 an hour.
Is that how much they cost?
I think so.
It's quite cheap.
I mean, I don't know. Is it?
Plumber probably costs £60 an hour.
Is that cheap?
So yeah, a psychiatrist probably costs
£100
an hour.
What would be the
going
rate?
Yeah, that's a good question. Okay.
For a female company.
For a good quality prostitute?
Yeah.
Not escort, because prostitutes are a bit lower rung.
Either.
What?
What's the difference?
Are we going out, or is this more just like we're staying in a hotel room?
Whatever you want to do. I'm pretty sure that's how it works.
The prostitute you take out for dinner is different to the prostitute you bring home for supper.
Are they?
Yeah.
Why?
Because you kind of want more of the like naughty, and then out there you might want something more, a bit more respectable looking. So that's wow, who's that model that you're out there with? But here you might just want Big Betty.
Big Betty.
Big Betty.
Okay.
Well,
you just go where your heart takes you.
I would pay £120 an hour.
£120 an hour?
Yeah, that's a nice hotel room. It's £120, right?
Yeah.
Well, not a nice one, like a okay one.
Okay. I mean, you might rack up a grand in a night.
I don't last that long, mate. You've got 20 minutes.
What about the cuddles?
Do I get a refund if I finish earlier?
No.
I get bored or something. I watch TV and
you get bored?
Yeah.
Of your £120 an hour prostitute.
Would she make me a sandwich?
I'm pretty sure they do whatever you want. It might not be a great sandwich. She might misinterpret what you mean by sandwich and do something completely different. What do you think would be her language of love?
Ooh.
Big Betty.
Monetary.
Receiving gifts?
No. Like, to be fair, she doesn't love you.
Well said.
To her, actually, or him, it may be more quality time.
Oh, because that's not what they're getting.
And physical touch probably would be less meaningless to them.
I'm
making massive assumptions here. More meaningless, yeah. I'm making massive assumptions, but because her job is that of a sexual and physical nature, she may understand that actually people are more important on the way you connect with them in a kind of soul-searching way than the physical that they bring to the table.
That's interesting.
Aww.
Speaking of, paying for love, I don't know if you saw on Vice, but there was this guy, an American guy, who wrote a blog about where he goes to do sex tourism, because he's really obsessed with prostitutes, basically.
What is sex tourism? Isn't that what pedos do?
It's when you travel to a country where prostitution's legal, and then...
Is that
a
big
pedos
industry?
Do that as well, because the age of consent is different in different countries, slash the police turn their eye a bit more.
Oh.
But so he basically writes about all of his exploits, like, oh, look, I'm in Amsterdam and whatever. And he went recently back to Costa Rica, which is a place he visits a lot, where prostitution is legal, and he has been arrested. Because there's a law in Costa Rica which says that you can be arrested for commercially promoting the sex trade or tourism, because it leads to...
And he got arrested for his blog post.
Yeah.
Funny, isn't it?
Mm.
I would think that if you're that devoted to plan a holiday, we're planning a holiday based on food, some people planning their holidays based on sex, surely you'd want to just move to that country rather than go on there on holiday all the time.
Well,
just
said.
Live there, go live in fucking wherever you live.
Calabunga
and do your weird freaky shit.
I agree.
And you're probably going to be able to buy as much. It's disgusting, though, isn't it?
Yeah. So anyway, he's in jail.
Do you think they look at us planning holidays based on food and go, God, those guys are fucking slaves to their own fucking food?
So we've come to the end of another
podcast, number 14,
50 Shades of Love.
That felt like a real love filled episode.
It really did, and my heart is bursting.
Aww.
Both in real life and metaphorically.
That was complex. Love in all of its different ways.
Do you know what, I just feel like love makes the world go round. Has anyone said that before?
I think they have. Is that like
I want to catchphrase that. I want to tagline that.
T-shirt it.
I want to say that more.
You said, yeah, to me.
Love is all you need.
Ooh.
And love makes the world go round.
Wow.
Love is in my blood.
Do you want to know what I learned today?
What?
That love is different.
Love is different.
Love is different.
Wow, that is a big revelation.
Some people find love in food. Some people find love in music. Some people find love in others. But really, you got to find that love in yourself.
Oh, preach.
That's my little message.
Yes. That was good. I like that. I agree. I have nothing else to add.
If you love sex tourism, man, that's what you're going to fucking do. If you love Chinese burritos.
I mean, I love Chinese burritos. Do you know what? That's my takeaway.
Literally.
The food that you just made up.
Bam.
So much.
Bam.
I want to make it real.
Bam. You know when you like have an idea that you want to share with your friend, you're like, oh my god, they're going to love this.
Mm.
I wrote that down like 10 days ago on my phone. I was like,
nice.
I'm going to keep it a secret because I'm going to blow her brains out with
prepping.
A fucking Chinese burrito.
Yes.
I'm going to have to learn to make that.
Let's go make that now.
You could just get all the stuff from the Chinese
takeaway.
Let's go.
Let's go.
All right, we're going to get some food.
Podcast done.